restores our faith in God. What reveals the Father's name? What can lead the way we know? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save, overcome? Where the Lamb laid down his life.
have to clap. No, you don't have to clap. I just love hearing the happy buzz of women's ministry. It makes me so happy. All right, girls, so get your stuff and find a seat. Well, while we start, you can either sit at a table or you can sit at chairs, but maybe if you're sitting at the chairs, you can scoot up a little bit. I don't know if I love fall because my birthday is in fall or because you can eat all the apple pie in Julian that you can possibly eat in Julian. And if you're not eating apple pie, you can eat pumpkin things. Or if because in the 1 year Bible we're reading Isaiah and that's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Or if it's because women's ministry usually starts in fall. And I think that that might be it. All right, so I have some announcements for you guys. And if you don't know me, my name is Christy Duff and I'm Jason's wife. And my mom and dad are Pat and Steve Apple and they're missionaries in Israel. So you can call me Christy, but I'm usually answering to Pat's daughter or Jason's wife. That's how I'm best known as. So we have a new format this year. And what we're gonna do is the teaching will be first. And then after the teaching, we'll have table time. And each time, there's going to be a different group leader at each table. So what we thought would be fun for you guys is instead of being in the same group every time, if you could switch tables each time. And if you're nervous, you can grab a friend to do it with you. You can keep one friend with you, but switch tables each time to get a new leader. And if at the end of Bible studies, you have gone to a different leader each time, you get an amazing, amazing gift and prize. And that's the amazing gift and prize of knowing that you got a different leader each time. Good job! Yay! So during the study, you can either sit at the tables or you can sit at the chairs. And what else am I supposed to tell you guys? Oh, if there's not enough tables left after or while we start the little table time, there is a table out in the foyer that will also be used as a group table. And yes, new format. It's fall. Yay, sit at different tables. Oh, this is my most exciting part. I don't know how I forgot this part. Once you're at the table, after the Bible study happens, before we start the group time, somebody will be bringing you coffee. Doesn't that sound amazing? That's like my dream come true for a Bible study. Please, somebody bring me coffee. It's amazing. And then the homework is also a different format this year. We decided, you know, once you're changing one thing, you might as well change everything. So as you noticed, probably, it's a smaller notebook this time than it was last time. And the homework is not a daily homework this time. It still would probably be a good idea to start digging into it on Tuesday and kind of be thinking about it all week, but it's not a daily homework. So for those of you naughty girls like me who usually ended up doing it in one day anyway, there you go. There's also another thing that I want to tell you guys, and this time also we're starting a prayer meeting at 5:30. And so if you want to come out and be a part of that, just lifting up the night in prayer, we would love to have you. It's going to be from 5:30 to 6. But what you can do, because I know that some people can't get there at 5:30 and some people have to leave early to go help decorate or whatever it might be. So I want it to be a rotating prayer. If you can run in there at 5:45 for 5 minutes, sit down and pray really quick and then you need to go, that is completely fine. My heart is to have as many people, as many women praying in that prayer group as possible. It's such an awesome way to start the night, just to prepare our hearts for all that God has for us. And I also wanted to say thank you to everybody who's been serving and made all the cookies and everything. Isn't it so wonderful? And if there's anybody who wants to help in that, I think that there's a sign-up flyer somewhere, I think. You can probably find somebody and just say, can I give somebody a cookie? And I'm sure that they would say yes. So find that. There's also, I think that you got an El Salvador flyer. Your kids probably didn't get a hold of yours, so it's probably not wrinkled like mine is. But this is an El Salvador flyer. Read it over. These are some things that they would love to have donated to them. And just really quick before we start, I have to tell you, I woke up so excited this morning. I was just so excited. And I just went bounding downstairs and, well, it was 4:45, so my heart was bounding. My eyes were going very slowly down the stairs. But I just woke up and I was so excited for women's ministry to start. I was so excited to see your adorable faces and to get to know everybody as we rotate tables, right, girls? Yes. To get to know everybody and to get to talk to people. And it's just such a fun and exciting time. And as I sat down to read Isaiah, how many of you guys are doing the 1 year Bible this year? Oh, isn't it fun? Isn't Isaiah awesome? I love, love, love the book of Isaiah. And as I was reading, I just kind of felt like God put some verses on my heart for us as we begin to study Titus. In Isaiah chapter 30, it says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Wherever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and bread of incense of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful." And then in Psalm 63, it said, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." Now, usually I don't really want fatness to be something that describes me. You know, I'm sure you guys are right there with me, but I just felt like God say, this time, this season, in the book of Titus, he wants to give us such a fatness in our hearts. Isn't that fun? It's just kind of a fun word to say. He wants to give us fatness in our hearts through the book of Titus, a plentifulness through the book of Titus. And I'm so excited to see what he's going to do. I'm so excited to hear the stories of how God's restored marriages and relationships and called people into ministry and changed lives through the book of Titus. And I just want to encourage you, stick it out. It's 8 weeks, 7 weeks of study, 8 weeks of time, and just stick it out. Those nights where you're tired, those nights where it's hard to get here, that's not God making it hard. God's got something for you here, and I just want to encourage you to push past the sleepiness, push past the insecurity, push past the busyness, and just get here. God has got fatness for us this season through the book of Titus, and I'm so excited to hear from everybody. Could we have all of the table leaders stand really quick so that we can know who they are? These are your table leaders. And aren't you girls going to have such a fun time getting to know each one of them every single week at a different table? I don't know if you guys are moving or we're moving. I don't know. Anyway, somebody's moving. Yes, you guys can sit down. Sorry. Well, as the worship girls come up, let's go ahead and open the night in prayer. Lord, we just come before you for tonight. God, we're so excited to see what you have for us. Lord, your word does not return void. Your word goes forth to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. God, may you make our hearts soft tonight. Lord, as you speak through Margie, and God, as we praise you through worship, I just pray, Lord, that you would help our eyes to see you, God. May our hearts be soft before you, Lord. May it be your soil to turn into a fruitful field, a forest, God. May these weeks be yours and may we be in your hand. God, go before this time. Bless each one of these precious, precious girls. God, I pray you would restore and heal and convict and bind up wounds and heal hearts. God, heal brokenness. I just pray, Lord, that we would be yours tonight, that you would bless the worship, bless Margie, and bless the study. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand for this first song.
Satisfied. sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
And Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you that we have come to this place, Lord, and we can worship you, and we can hear from your word, Lord. We just pray that that would be our heart, Lord, that we would just be a sanctuary for you, Lord, that you would soften our hearts, open our ears, God, that you would just let us be clay in your hands as we start this study, God. And that's our desire, to be molded and shaped more into the image of you, God. And I just pray now, as your servant Margie comes to share, God, that you would just pour your spirit out on this place, Lord, on every single woman who's come here tonight, God, that you would just speak to her individually, to every single heart, Lord, and just bless this place, Lord. Bless this night, God. And we just thank you so much and are so excited to see what you're going to do, Lord. We commit the rest of this night into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Is this the microphone that we can disconnect? Oh, press the button. No, I mean this one. Can I just pull it out? Oh, press the button down and then pull it out. Thank you. We have one that doesn't pull out, and I was afraid that I might break something. How are you tonight? I can sense in the worship that you are hungry and thirsty for God and for women's Bible study. Where's Christy? Christy, I have to tell you that the best thing about fall is women's Bible study. Amen? I woke up excited as well and am following along in the one-year Bible. And if you are following along with us, you woke up this morning to the blessing of Psalm 63 as well. And what a beautiful psalm. And so appropriate as well as what Christy shared for our first day of women's Bible study. Just turn there with me in your Bibles for a moment, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 4 in that Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. And just a little bit about the background on this. As David was writing, he's alone and he's in a desperate place, and he's longing for the times in the temple when he could fellowship with the saints. Yet he's having his own little personal worship service there with the Lord. And he says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Is that beautiful? And I pray that is your heart for this season of Bible study, that you have come and will continue to come thirsty and longing for God and his word, and that you will be inspired to wake up early every morning to seek him in your own sanctuary. Remember that the scriptures say in Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he will be faithful to meet you in your sanctuary, your quiet place, and reveal his glory and fill you with his power. What an invitation. Yes. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for David's heart. And that is so our heart, Lord, that humble heart that just longs and desires and seeks and thirsts for you, Lord. Where would we be without you, God? And I just pray, Lord, that your word goes forth tonight, Lord, and touches each woman's heart here, that she will be challenged in her heart, Lord, to go to deeper places with you, to go to deeper places in your word, to go to deeper places in her personal journey with you, Jesus. So I ask you now, Lord, to just empty me, remove me, Lord, speak through me, use me, God. It's been a week where I've been so weak, Lord, and your power has been so available, and I thank you for that, God, and ask you to just bless our time in your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, my grandchildren, how many of you in the room have grandchildren? Okay, do they have different names for all their grandparents? Okay, so you're tracking with me. Well, my name is Grandma, and that's the easy name, but I simply have no problem being called Grandma. I love it. It's my grandkids say Grandma, and I melt. But my daughter's husband's mom is Meemaw. She's Meemaw. Does anybody have a Meemaw? Oh, my gosh, okay. Well, the other night, Meemaw and I were watching our grandchildren, and were so amused as my two-year-old grandson, Micah, quickly identified the logo on Mima's sweatpants. He pointed straight at this logo, which he could not read, and said, In-N-Out Burger! In-N-Out Burger! I couldn't help as I was pondering the message for tonight. In fact, Mima even said to me, Kay said to me, you got to put that one of your messages. I couldn't help as I was pondering the message for tonight about the effectiveness of branding a product that even a two-year-old could be influenced by it and identify it, right? Oh my goodness. The American Marketing Association defines a brand as a name, a term, a symbol, or a logo, or a sign, or a combination of those things, intended to identify the goods and services of one seller or group of sellers to differentiate them from the others. Now, it's important to understand, though, and listen closely, branding is not about getting your target market to choose you over the competition, but branding is all about getting your prospects to see you as the only one that provides a solution to their problems. Sound familiar? Branding is big business in today's culture. The Nike swoosh, the Coca-Cola logo, and the McDonald's golden arches are probably the world's most recognizable symbols. And the very essence of branding is to have your brand seen everywhere, penetrating every nook and cranny of contemporary culture. Now, Nike is so determined to have their logo everywhere that they do little about others using it or copyright infringement or about shoplifting even in their stores. It doesn't matter how the brand is spread around, only that it becomes more and more visible. Now, that may seem like shameless self-promotion, but is it always? The Nike brand is intended to convey an entire approach to life, and to sport in particular. Nike staff understand that they serve the brand. Many are devoted to it, and several staff members even have a swoosh tattoo. Even Michael Johnson's gold Nikes draw attention to the Nike brand at least as much as to Michael Johnson himself. And it's not just Nike staff. People identify with the brand and promote it wherever they go. They wear it on their shoes, on their shirts, on their hats, on their watches. One American tattooist reports that he gets more requests for the swoosh than anything else. Now take that to our Christianity. What about Christian branding? Certainly not a good idea, but the idea that the brand or the Christian way of life should be easily identified in the culture is valid, isn't it? Our faith should be highly visible to people. The difference that Jesus makes in the life of us as believers should be evident to everyone, to everybody. In a world that is quickly losing confidence in everything because it's abandoned the idea of truth, our Christian faith should give us a radically different sense of security, a different way of life. And in a world of despair, a Christian's hope should be a refreshing counterpoint. And also in a world of fractured relationships, Christians' love for each other should make people sit up and take notice. Jesus said himself, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." If the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is to impact our culture, it's time we live the brand, don't you think? Don't you think? The cross of Jesus Christ, that as his followers, we are devoted to him and to his mission and to bring him glory through the gospel message. And our lives need to be radically different. We need to be peculiar people, as the Bible says. And that is what the theme of Titus is all about, sisters. Paul's statement regarding the church in Crete in Titus 1:16 should cause us all to pause and take notice. That reference is Titus 1:16, and I'm using here the New International Version. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Take a deep breath. I did. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? These were people in the church. And as we come to this study, we will have the opportunity to examine our lives and be sure that they line up with our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Paul actually instructs us to do this in 2 Corinthians 13:5, where he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." But the good news is that Titus will not leave us without answers. We will be told how to live a godly life in a godless world. You will find answers. And how to avoid denying God by the way that you live. After all, that's the struggle, isn't it? Living a life that lines up with the salvation we have been given in Jesus Christ. It has never been easy. The world is forever trying to squeeze us into its mold. Romans 12 tells us that. And we must wonder today if the world, for just this moment, is winning. Which is why our study this fall is so important. Some of you may have attended the simulcast on the evening of the 10th anniversary of 9/11 here at our church. It was hosted by Ann Graham Lotz and Joel Rosenberg. The message was titled, "A Wake-Up Call." And if some of you were there, just bear with me a moment because it bears repeating. But two penetrating, deep questions were asked. The first one being this: am I morally and spiritually better off than I was 10 years ago? It's a good question. Where have you come in your relationship with Jesus Christ over the last 10 years? Are you looking more like Jesus today than you did 10 years ago? Now be thinking about that question as you consider some of the shocking facts reported that evening on the state of our culture. That since 1973, more than 53 million abortions have occurred. I was stunned by that number. The last number that I had heard was horrible as well, 40-something, but it has now jumped to 53 million abortions. Pornography revenues today exceed the revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC combined. And today, believe it or not, the pornography industry is larger than the revenues of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. Combined. If you'd like to visit Joel Rosenberg's site, he has a complete transcription of that message, and his facts are based with sources. And the second penetrating question, where are the Christians and what difference are we making? Where are the Christians and what difference are we making? It's no accident that God was speaking through Joel Rosenberg and through Anne Grand Lopes, and that God, as he spoke to our leaders here and prayed over the book of Titus, that he chose this book for this season, for where we find ourselves living today. I hope you know that. God is speaking a word, and he is speaking it everywhere. As you think about that question, consider these statistics offered by George Barna. If you're familiar with him or not, he's the Christian pollster and researcher. He has a new book out that Joel Rosenberg shared called Futurecast that he highly recommends reading. And he devoted a considerable amount of time to analyzing the state of Christianity in America today. And the results he gathered are revealing. He mentioned that there is no statistical difference between the percentage of non-Christians who get divorced, which is 33%, and the percentage of born-again Christians who get divorced, 32%. And second, that only half of all born-again Christians say they even try to share the gospel with one unsaved person one time a year. 85% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. 84% consider the Bible a holy book. And the typical household owns four Bibles. But here's, to me, the startling statistic. Only 56% believe that the Bible is accurate and without error. Perhaps this last statistic provides us with a great deal of insight. Christians are leaving the Word of God, which would indicate that they are also leaving the way of life that God prescribes. They follow an order, don't they? Clearly, there's a disconnect between who we say we are and what we say we believe versus the way we are actually living. Paul speaks to us through Titus. As Paul is writing to his disciple, Titus, he is writing to you and I as disciples of Jesus Christ. Don't get sucked into your culture. Live above it. And the central truth of Titus is found in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2. You can take a moment to turn there. That's chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation, the grace of God that brings salvation, that undeserved favor of God, has appeared to all men, to everyone, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And you are going to learn as you come to the book of Titus how grace trains us to live a godly life. I think Christy's going to be sharing that week. But how easily, and we're all guilty of it, do we conform to the culture? Very easily. Often we make choices that we don't even recognize as rooted in the world, rather than in God's word. Many of us just drift along, our actions and our attitudes left unexamined. But a desire to be more like the world has robbed the church at large of its distinctive purpose. That desire to be more like the world is threatening to result in the church's absorption by the world that it was intended to change. That's a scary thought. The world that we were sent here by God intended to change, we are getting wrapped up and involved in, and as Joel Rosenberg would say, intoxicated by. So how do we recognize when we are slipping from our foundation, our core beliefs, and conforming to the world? This is what the book of Titus will help us to discover. God's pattern for living. God's pattern for living. And this book will clearly point out the areas to us where our doctrine needs attention, so that we are sound both in doctrine and sound in our faith. And that word sound is a key word in the book of Titus. So be paying close attention to it. You will study it. You will study it. It is key to the book of Titus. We have been called, sisters, to live a godly life right here and now amidst the darkness of our culture. God is saying, live as light. That calling is rooted in God's saving action on our behalf. That is a response to God's grace in our life. And I want to exhort you during this study to aspire to become a woman of influence. Each of you here, I don't know how many of you are here, what a great turnout tonight, has your own sphere of influence. You have your own set of neighbors. You have your families. You have your workplaces. You have your schools. And I could go on and on. But you, the book of Acts tells us, are not there by accident. God appointed the days and times in which you would live. You are there on purpose. You are there for a reason. And I want you to aspire to become a woman who influences her world for Jesus Christ. Not a woman who blends in, but a woman who stands out. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is talking almost the same language from Titus. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it to you in verses 15 and 16. In that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of what a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast what? The word of life. Holding fast the word of life, so that I, Paul, may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Another translation that I absolutely love exhorts us to shine like stars among the darkness of the world. Are you shining where God has placed you? Are you light in the midst of darkness in your sphere of influence? Can people tell there's something different about you? Are you holding fast to the word of life? Are you part of that 56% that says, I don't believe that. The Bible's not for today. And what is it that you believe? Do you know what it is that you believe? You're going to find out in Titus. The gospel is presented throughout the book in so many beautiful ways. It would take me all night to describe them. But I promise you, if the book of Titus is embraced in your time of study, you can't help but come out desiring to make a difference, desiring to shine brighter for Christ, and God will use you. God will use that. The rapid decline of morality has taken its toll on our younger women today, and I applaud younger women that are here tonight. Good job that you came out to be a part of this. But words like purity, modesty, and discretion are literally disappearing from our culture. How often do you hear those words spoke of? When's the last time you heard the word discretion? Do you even know what the word discretion means? But as we study through the book of Titus, we will resurrect those virtues. We will make them our own. We will revive them in our day in hopes of modeling them once again to the next generation. And then, probably my favorite part of the book of Titus, though it's hard to choose a favorite part. Such a short book, but such a profound book. And I'm glad I could have written 20 weeks in the book of Titus, but we've got it in 7. But still, 7 for 3 chapters is awesome, right? But what I hope you will take to heart and grab a hold of in Titus is the value of relationships. The value of relationships. Specifically, pay close attention to the Paul-Titus relationship. For that relationship, which Debbie will be talking about next week, holds out an example to us today of what is lacking in so many of our busy lives. I really believe it's the missing ingredient. I want you to study the example of Paul and Titus carefully, for the treasures that you will find there are priceless, and the secrets to a fruitful life as a disciple of Jesus Christ are found there. And if that's not enough, my friends, God's beautiful design for women, God's beautiful design for women, for me and you, is in this book. If you don't know what the will of God is for your life, you are going to find out as you go through Titus, because he has a beautiful design for women. He has an abundant life ahead for you, a pearl of great price, which will bring such rich meaning and purpose to your life, no matter what season of life you're in. And with all of this, as Paul exhorts us to sound doctrine, you will be taught once again the foundations of your faith. And as I was preparing for you, I was so blessed to be reminded of those once again, to take hold of them once again. We can never be reminded enough about what it is that we believe. And I came across a comment on a blog that caught my interest, as the author compared America to a plane running out of fuel. He said, the story of America during the past 35 years is like a story of an airplane running out of fuel. What will transpire when the airplane does run out of fuel is entirely natural and predictable. The good news for you and me tonight is that for those who desire it, our fuel tanks can be replenished. But what is the fuel? What has kept America airborne for so long? I believe it is loyalty to the basic principles that God laid out in the Bible for the safe and durable operation of the machine that we call human society. Leave God and leave His word, and we know exactly what will happen. We are seeing before our eyes exactly what happens as America has turned her face against God. And oh my gosh, Christians turning away from God's word. The light is dim. But you, sisters, have made the right decision to be here tonight. You are going to be the women that make a difference. that are going to change things up. I hope you're excited about that. I want you to take this Bible study to heart. I have been living and breathing Titus for 9 months, and I still can't get enough. And I want you to replenish your fuel tank if it's low, okay? Replenish it. If you've gone away from the Word of God, it's time to come back. If you've left God, if you've left your first love, it's time to repent. It's time to come back. God's waiting there. Remember the prodigal son, father? He's waiting there with arms open wide saying, come back, my daughter. Come back. Let the book of Titus change you. Let it change your mind. Let it change your heart. I am praying for myself. I'm praying for each one of you. And what I am praying is Titus 2:14. And I do want you to turn there. Titus 2:14 says that Jesus, who gave himself for us, Jesus gave himself for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know that God sent his son because he loved you. He sent Jesus to give his life for you, to pay for your sins, to take the death that you deserved, so that God could have relationship with you, so that Jesus could conquer sin and hell, and God could live with us forever. That is a love story you do not want to miss. If you're here tonight and you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, there are wonderful women around these tables, and I'm available. Come and say, I want to make a decision for Jesus. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. As you receive Jesus, his Spirit comes to live in your heart, and his Spirit teaches you God's word. It goes on to say that Jesus might redeem us from every lawless deed and what? And purify for himself his own special people. Why did he redeem us from every lawless deed? To purify for himself his own special people, that we would be called out, set apart for his glory, and that we would be what? Zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Let that be all of our prayer for this study, that as we take in Jesus, who gave himself for us, and we allow his redeeming work in our lives, we welcome it, we embrace it, we accept it. We allow him to purify us and redeem those ugly things and bad things in our life, that we might be then free, excited, on fire to go and take the kingdom for him. I pray we would become those women who are a standout, shining like stars in this dark world, leading others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, not just with our words, sister, but with our very lives. Amen? Okay. I'm going to transition here just real quickly. I do want to spend a few moments with you on how to study. You have an outline tonight. And on the back of it is how to study. And it's important that we take a few moments to go over this. How many of you, this is your first Bible study? Wow, okay, yay! Brave soul! How many of you have been believers here in the room for less than 5 years? Wow! Okay, ladies, take notice. Well, the first thing to do when you come to God's Word every morning is to pray. It doesn't have to be any fancy kind of prayer, just Good morning, God. It's wonderful to have this time with you. Would you speak to me through your word? If there's anything heavy on your heart, share it. But just tell the Lord, I'm desperate for your word. I'm desperate for a word from you. Because when you say that, he's going to speak. I guarantee you, that's a prayer that God loves to hear. And you will have a weekly passage, not a daily passage, a weekly passage. And every morning I want you to get up and read that passage over again. You'll become very familiar with the passage. The study is broken up first with this week's focus. And in this week's focus, this is the heart and soul of the lesson for the week. Instead of a daily lesson, as Christy shared with you, we are headed into a direction for the week, which will help you to focus in a specific area of the book of Titus. And let me tell you, this method of studying is going to help you absorb more by focusing in this one particular area. But as Christy also mentioned, be sure to pace yourself throughout the week. And you want to develop that discipline of coming to God in His Word every single morning. Fresh manna, right? Last week's manna is not going to do you any good for the current day. You want fresh manna every day. And this weekly focus is really going to help you as you come together each week for your table talk. You're going to really sense that you know what you're talking about. Because you've absorbed this passage, you've absorbed it for a week, you've studied for a week, and we're all headed in the same direction as we come back together again. And then, of course, this week's memory verse. This is an opportunity for you to develop the discipline of scripture memorization. And guess what? I've picked some pretty short verses for you. So you should be excited. Because I wanted to encourage you in your scripture memorization. So don't be intimidated by it. Come and share it with the women at your table. Guess what? I know my verse this week. And then we have a this week's time in the Word. And this is our time of digging into the Word of God and studying it as it relates to our lesson. You will be turning the pages. You will be looking up scriptures. You will be bringing confirmation to what you're learning in Titus, getting the full context of the Word of God. And then this week's application are questions to help you apply what you are learning to your everyday life. Because it's so important that we are just not gaining head knowledge, but that we are asking ourselves the questions of how does this work in my life? How does this work in my life? And then, for you diehard students, we have included a this week's challenge and a this week's digging deeper. Dare you go there. This is optional, so don't stress over it. But if you do want to go there, it is there for you and well worth the time. Because it's just going to cement, as you dig deeper, the truth. It's going to help you to learn how to search for yourself and dig deep into God's Word. And then just a few Bible study tips. For all of you that raised your hand, the new believers here, a study buddy for first-time Bible students or new believers is a great idea. Find yourself a study buddy. How fun is it to go to Starbucks and have your coffee and study together? Great, great. And I'm sure any of the women in the room here would love to join you. And you know what else? It's a great witness. You will be shining brightly as you are out at Starbucks. And then bring your questions to Bible study. Get to know the leaders that are at your tables and feel free to ask questions. I still ask questions, and I've been a believer for 18 years. There's nothing wrong with a question. And your questions are not stupid, or God wouldn't have put them there in your heart. Questions are to be answered. Don't ever be afraid to ask a question or feel foolish in asking a question. And then if you have the internet And if you don't and you want to go to the library, you can use their computers and go online. But there are some wonderful online resources that you can use in your time of study. I've mentioned three of them there. And blueletterbible.org, Bible Gateway, and then gotquestions.org. You can literally type in any question and they answer most of them. It's a great, solid, sound website. If you don't know an answer, skip it and move on. And then one thing I wanted to recommend, I love to put in questions that say, support your answer with scripture. And I know that that frightens some of you. So I'm recommending for this season of Bible study a promise book. They're very inexpensive. But in those promise books, they have topical listings of verses. So whatever we're talking about on that question where it says support your, you know, your answer with scripture, you can go to that topic in the Bible and find some of those, and that's going to help you really pull scripture together. And if you have a hard time doing that, don't worry about it. Wait and come and hear everybody else's answer. And if you don't finish your homework, please come to Bible study anyway. The enemy really wins on that one. It is not about that, because you are going to miss out. It's a double miss out. If you don't do your homework and then you don't come, you miss up on the fellowship, on the prayer, on the worship, on the discussion time. We want you here. You're a part of this. And I'm with Christy. This is a short Bible study, one that you can really commit to being here every week. And I'm telling you, the things that we're going to be talking about, you don't want to miss one single week. And then last, I just wanted to notify you of a correction in the study so that you don't go crazy. We did have two or three editors on the study, and you know it's like you just never catch them all. But on page 6 of your study, question number 8, the scripture reference should be 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 4. Right now it says verses 6 to 9. And you will go, huh? Like the person that caught it, which was Yvonne. She was doing a head start on her study, and she goes, I'm not getting it. Am I missing something? Yes. Question? Oh, sure. It's page 6 of your study. It's question number 8. And the scripture reference, the very first one, should be 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 4. And thank you. You know, I look out at all of your faces, and I see a hunger, and I see a thirst, and I see a desire, and it excites me. And you're paying attention. And that just excites me. I sensed it in the worship that you're all in. Are you all in? Raise your hand if you're in. Woo! Love it, love it, love it. I'm all in with you. So let's pray, and then we'll break into our groups. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. So much for meeting us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, God, for redeeming us. Thank you, God, that we belong to you. And I just pray now as the women go to their groups that there will be lively discussion about what they've heard tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that as any of these areas that we covered, as we briefly went through the book of Titus, that they would talk about them, their challenges, their desires, and that your spirit would just be there ministering and teaching and just causing great friendships to develop and fellowship to take place. Thank you, God, for meeting me here tonight and just your faithfulness to me. In Jesus' name, amen. So Debbie, where's Debbie? Are we doing worship first before groups?
Closing song?
Okay. Good. Come on up. You want my mic? Okay, thanks. Roz? Okay. Good. Thanks, Ash.
Ladies, let's stand for this last song. I just feel like this is really our theme song for this study, just after everything Margie said, and I think we need to stand for it.
Every soul, some brightly burning, some darkly cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes us whole. So carry your candle, run to the His own care.